This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A beautiful young mom, Nikki Chang, missing. But now, a smoking gun cracks the case of the missing mom wide open. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Mom's Chevy is found abandoned on a remote country road. Nikki's case is a homicide investigation.
There were several assaults on Nikki.
A brutal assault on Nikki prior to her disappearing, prior to her Chevy being found abandoned on a remote country road.
She thought she was going to die.
Where is Nikki? Where is missing mom Nikki? She's absolutely gorgeous. And this is where the whole thing started. Listen.
Wednesday night around 8:30, Nikki Saley McCain is in her bedroom combing her hair. Her husband of 13 years, Tyler McCain, arrives home in a strange mood. For no apparent reason, Tyler McCain aggressively jumps on top of Nikki, holding her on the ground, then dragging her around, yelling, "What are you doing?" Nikki says Tyler McCain's eyes are glazed over. Nikki tries calming her husband, but it doesn't work, and he holds her down and begins hitting her in the face. The terror escalates over a three-hour period, with McCain binding Nikki's wrists and ankles together with tape, putting tape over her mouth so she couldn't speak properly, rolling his wife onto her stomach. Tyler McCain sits on her back, pulling her hair back, forcefully pulling her head back and telling her he's going to kill her.
And it gets worse. The terror she endured in that one episode was just part of years and years of horrific domestic abuse. Can you imagine that? Being bound at wrists and ankles with tape over your mouth so you can't speak, you can barely breathe, and there's more. Listen.
After 3 hours of Tyler McCain allegedly beating his wife, the mother of his four children, hitting her about the face and head, blackening her eyes, pulling out her hair, and taping her mouth shut, he leaves her alone and goes into the kitchen. Getting herself loose from the bindings, Nikki Saley McCain grabs a robe with her car keys, runs outside, and gets in her car. Tyler McCain chases Nikki out of the house and jumps onto the hood of the car, telling her to stop. Ignoring his demands, Nikki flees to the safety of her sister's home in Reading.
The only reason we know details of that episode is because she actually went to the hospital that time, and it was documented. How many hundreds of other episodes of violent domestic abuse occurred before Nikki mysteriously disappears in the last days? A so-called smoking gun cracks this case wide open. Straight out to special guests joining us. I call them the Nikki sisters. It's Kay Ford and Chloe Saley, Nikki's sister. Kay, do you remember when you first heard about that particular domestic violence episode?
I do remember. It was the first time she had gone to the police, gone to the hospital. So we finally had a record of the abuse. Obviously, that was a horrible, horrible incident for her. But we at least knew that this was officially being recorded and she was making a report. So we were hopeful that it would be the step for more help.
You know, Kay, you and Chloe look so much like Nikki. Do people tell you that?
They do.
That must be very unnerving to sometimes look in the mirror. Every once in a while, I catch myself as I'm walking by a glass plate, and I think of my father. I look just like my dad. That must be very unnerving for you guys to look in the mirror and see basically an image of Nikki. Chloe, also joining us in addition to Kay, on what is a very momentous evening, because a so-called smoking gun has cracked this case finally wide open. But Chloe, do you recall when you first learned the details of that particular violent episode?
When I first learned about that episode, my heart was broken. It was, I just couldn't believe it, because how could someone that loves another person do that to someone that they love?
You know, Chloe, was this the first time you learned about those beatings, or did you know about it before?
I think that I had a suspicion. Nikki never came out boldly about the abuse that was happening, but I think that was the first one that she actually came forward with, and she came to me about it.
Well, here is the thing. To Franz Borghardt, Franz is a criminal defense attorney, a renowned criminal defense attorney, founder of Borghardt's law firm, former prosecutor, and professor at Louisiana State University. Franz, thank you for being with us. Franz, while we can all sit back and say, well, obviously we know he did it, he's the one responsible for her disappearance, it's not that easy. There's this little thing called proof, called evidence in a court of law. We know he violently abused her, the mother of his children, for a really long time, and then she mysteriously disappears. But that's not enough to take it to court, is it, Franz?
You're absolutely right. The first thing is the state has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there was a murder, that there was in fact a murder, which they can do. We call it corpus delicti. They can do that. But in the absence of having a body, we lack certain evidence. We lack a murder weapon. We lack the means of the actual murder. And that is problematic for the state and presents fantastic defenses to this accused individual. Sure, there is an argument for motive. He was being prosecuted for domestic violence, but I don't think that that's enough. And on top of all that, they've got to get the other crimes evidence into the instant homicide case. They probably will be able to do that, Nancy, but they still have to litigate that to establish that they can bring out this other past, these past incidents for the purposes of murder, for the purposes of opportunity, for the purposes of knowledge and intent, to even get that into the murder trial. So it's not necessarily a
okay,
slam dunk for the state.
Franz, you know what? Blah, blah, yes. What you're saying is the state has to jump a hurdle in order to get a similar transaction into evidence. So what? I've brought in a million similar transaction pieces of evidence. It's not hard. You have to show that the case in chief is similar to a prior incident so that the prior incident, in this case, a violent beating, tends to prove the case in chief. I can't bring in a shoplifting or an armed robbery or carjacking in this case. I have to bring in something similar and connected in time to my case in chief, which I submit is murder. That said, Franz, you're absolutely correct. There has to be an evidentiary hearing, but you started off talking about a nobody case. Another newsflash, okay? A lot of nobody cases have been tried and won. Here's a recent one, the case of a young mom of two little boys, Anna Walsh. Listen.
After his wife, Anna Walsh, vanishes, Brian Walsh is buying cleaning products, large tarps, buckets with lids, and splash-resistant goggles. He also makes trips to 6 dumpsters in 5 days. So police installed GPS tracking devices on vehicles used by Walsh and his mother. As the investigation heats up, a fire burns through a home that Anna Walsh, her husband, and 3 boys moved out of the previous year. Police Chief William Quigley says the fire is highly strange. They will get to the bottom of it. The chief says the department is doing a full ground search for any clues to Anna Walsh's whereabouts.
Okay, of course, Anna Walsh's body not been found, but guess what? They're heading to trial right now. After all of his Google searches for things like, how long does it take for a dead body to start smelling, really? And then, of course, there's Kelsey Barrett. What an incredible woman, a beautiful young woman, the mother of a 1-year-old little girl. She had her pilot's license, and she was raising her little girl all by herself when, bam, she goes missing. Wow, I wonder who did that. Her fiancé, the body was never found. So, a no-body case, as Franz Borghardt aptly described it, can go to trial. Is it hard? Yes, of course it's hard. Is it impossible? No, it is not impossible. Back to Kay Ford. This is Nikki Chang's sister, along with Chloe Saley. Kay, even though you guys suspected there had been violent abuse in the past, when did you realize this was different? You hadn't heard from Nikki, you couldn't get in touch with Nikki, and Nikki never came back.
I think leading up to, I'd kind of talked about, we knew after the domestic violence incident, the one that she went to the hospital for and made a report, she was adamant about leaving Tyler and taking care of herself. Leading up to her disappearance, it's almost like she changed a little bit. She seemed forgiving almost. She kind of let us know that she felt sorry for Tyler and she didn't want him to get in trouble.
Wait. You said Nikki felt sorry for Tyler, her tormentor, and she forgave him?
I don't think she forgave
him. Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Okay, that leads me to something very important because that's how I think she got taken. Dr. Bethany Marshall is with us, renowned psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction, author of Deal Breaker. You can see her on Peacock now and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, in addition to trying violent felonies in inner city Atlanta, at night I worked as a volunteer at the Battered Women's Center. And I dealt with so many women that wanted to hold their family together and they would let the attacker, the husband, the partner, the man, back in for the sake of the children so the children would have a father figure. And the next thing you know, they turn up missing or dead or in the hospital. What leads women to forgive or relent on the attacker?
I think of domestic abuse as a crisis of boundaries. In other words, the victim, often a woman, feels that the husband's impulsivity, aggression, rage, pathological jealousy, envy is her fault. That's the crisis of boundaries. She feels that she is causing the man's suffering. Therefore, it is up to her to fix it. So when the man becomes out of control or enraged or batters, she thinks, what did I do? She blames herself. And then she becomes overly concerned about the perpetrator's feelings. And then okay. Nancy, there's
sorry.
Also...
You really lost me at it's her fault. Because here's Nikki Chang in the hospital. She's had her, which is a whole nother psychiatric or psychological issue, where he duct taped her mouth so she couldn't speak. He didn't want to hear her, bound her hands and feet, beat her, sat on her. And it goes on all the ways he tortured her. And she thinks that's her fault. You just said that. I've got you on tape. That is not her fault.
Imagine, Nancy, your husband stalks you, texts you, calls you incessantly, tries to alienate you from your friends. And he does it so many hundreds and thousands of times over the course of years that you actually begin to believe him. And you think you've done something wrong and you start to cower. You start to change all of your behaviors. Then he isolates you from your finances. You have no way to even make a purchase without it pinging his cell phone. So then he picks up the phone and asks you what you've bought. All of a sudden, you don't have food on the table for your children. You don't have a paycheck, so you have no way to get your own apartment or have your own independence. You're trapped. You're mentally trapped, psychologically trapped. You're like a little fly in a big web, and you cannot get away. These women do not want to be abused. No victim wants to be abused. If your listeners don't remember anything else about this show, remember that. They are drawn in interaction by interaction slowly over the course of years until they cannot get away.
In the last days, based on a so-called smoking gun, there has been a major break in the case. Listen.
Detectives also further concluded that Nikki's husband, Tyler Scott McCain, is responsible for Nikki's death and disappearance. Detectives recently obtained a murder arrest warrant for Tyler McCain, and today at about 10:15 a.m., Tyler McCain was arrested. He was ultimately booked in the Shasta County Jail with no bail for the murder of Nikki. Today, where we ultimately have an arrest of a murder suspect and a bodiless case, if you will. These cases are layered, meticulous, require months of investigation, hundreds and hundreds of personnel hours, not just from investigators, but from law enforcement boots on the ground, from support services, from forensic evidence, all across the board. It is very labor intensive, and it is crucial that all that evidence is collected, preserved, and processed accordingly to make the case.
Where is missing mom Nikki?
We haven't heard from her, and that wasn't very likely of her.
The sisters realize immediately something is wrong when Nikki is not responding as she normally would have to text messages.
She was bound and beaten, and that he tried to drown her, but he was too tired, so that's why he poured the water on her face.
tried to drown her. Guys, in the last days, an amazing breakthrough in the search for Nikki Chang. No, we have not found her. We have not found her body yet. But there has been an arrest. And as Franz Borghardt, a veteran trial lawyer and professor, says, well, it's a nobody case. Well, that may be true. That may be true. The same thing was said about Suzanne Morphew. Does anybody remember Suzanne Morphew? To Dave Mack joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Remember when we all went out to Salida and searched and worked that case trying to find out what happened to the mom of two, Suzanne Morphew? There was an arrest of the husband, then the whole thing was dropped, and lo and behold, years pass, and her body is found, dumped in basically a burial ground out in the middle of nowhere, Dave Mack. Remember that? It didn't stay a nobody case forever, Dave.
It didn't. And Nancy, when they found those bones, they were actually looking for someone else. It was one of the most amazing things that ever happened. And once they got those bones, they were able to determine so many different things about what happened to Suzanne Morphew, because those bones had not been sitting out to the elements the entire time we were all looking for her.
Oh, Dave Mack, I'm so glad you said that. So Franz Borghardt, I'm giving him a hard time, but he's actually a veteran criminal defense attorney. He is a former prosecutor. He's a professor at Louisiana State University. Franz Borghardt goes on and on about a nobody case, as if it's never happened before. Brian Fitzgibbons joining me, Director of Operations USPA Nationwide Security, who leads a team of investigators trying to find missing people and solve unsolved homicides. Brian, in the Suzanne Morphew case, when the body, well, it was just bones by the time her remains were found out in this wasteland area, they could actually tell, as Dave Mack just said, that she hadn't been there for the entire time since she was killed, because they could tell by the way the condition of the bones. They could also tell by getting bone marrow that she had been shot with a very powerful animal sedative, a tranquilizer. And only, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, Dave Mack, only two people in the state had it. And one was, guess who? Barry Morphew, her husband. And let me just point out, Brian, before you take off, that in the home, they found one of the tranquilizer dart caps. Really? He washed it with the sheets. I mean, that said, no body cases can be tried. But can we talk about how much better it would be if we could find her remains? And how are we going to do that, Brian?
Yeah, certainly, Nancy. And listen, there's been approximately 700 no body homicide cases in the last 25 years, and they have a really high conviction rate. Because the thing we need to remember, it's 2025. There have been crazy advances in forensic technology, all right? The resources at play in Nikki's case, you have the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, Shasta County Sheriff's Office collaborating with those organizations. So they're going to have tremendous evidence to bear in front of a jury.
Back to Kay and Chloe. First to you, Kay. I want you to listen to this.
Under the laws of the state of California, we're not required to have a person's body in order to charge murder. That's what we call a no-body homicide case. That is what we filed. And I'm sure many of you are asking, no, we've never filed that type of case in Shasta County before. But we are going to work very hard on this case. And to me, despite not finding her body, we have been provided with overwhelming evidence to prove that not only is Nikki dead, but that Tyler McCain is responsible for her murder.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Kay, what went through your mind when you found out Tyler McCain has finally been arrested? Now, first of all, before you tell me that, can you please tell everybody about how he's got the girlfriend slung up in his house?
We've seen many posts about potential girlfriends at the house. That speaks pretty loudly to, you know, you're not expecting your wife back.
You know, it kind of reminds me of Scott Peterson, Kay, because Lacey's body had not been found yet, her pregnant body. And he had already tried to, oh, there he is in all of his splendor and glory. He had already tried to sell the house where she lived. They lived together, expecting their first child. He tried to sell her car and ordered the porn channel. Immediately turned the baby's room into a storage room, so obviously he did not expect her to walk through the front door. Why? Because he knew she was dead. Why? Because he killed her. Now, if you can recall, Kay or Chloe, how quickly after Nikki goes missing, your sister, your lookalike sister, did he move the first missed thing into their house?
It was within, I think, like a week or 2 weeks. I just remember there was a lot of chatter online and a lot of people actually...
I'm sorry. Wait, I think my earplug, my IFB must not be working. Did you say a week? 1 week?
Yeah.
Continue.
And there were pictures of a female at his home as well, too. So that just confirmed the story even more.
You know, to you, Chloe, how did you guys find out that Nikki had only been missing a week before he moved a girlfriend in? Not the girlfriend, but a girlfriend. There's been a long parade of them.
Sorry, Nancy, did you say how did we find out?
Yes.
Yeah. It was posted online on, there was a few Justice for Nikki pages up on Facebook, and it was posted online, and then there were also pictures as well, too.
Wait, are you telling me he posted photos of the other woman on the Justice for Nikki page?
There were people who would drive by Tyler's house just to kind of see what was going on, and they were seeing the same female that was outside of his home with Tyler, and then someone from the girl, her family members were also concerned because they've also found out that their sister had been staying at Tyler's home. And so that's kind of how we found out also as well to confirm the story even more.
Lauren Collin joining me, investigative reporter, star of Pop Crime TV on YouTube. Lauren Conlon, of course, I'm sure when I go back to him, Franz Borghardt is going to say, that means nothing. That doesn't prove he's a murderer just because he's a cheater. What do you know about all the girlfriends?
Well, the community has really rallied around helping Nikki and being there for Chloe and Kay and the children. So I saw these pictures in the Facebook group and I was shocked. But Nancy, I want to point out that, you know, you mentioned this case started out as a missing persons case, but it wasn't until March of 2025 that it was actually deemed a homicide case. And that is when they actually were able to serve a search warrant to Tyler and search Tyler and Nikki's home in Anderson, California. And, you know, we still don't know what they found in that search. It is still very unclear. But we know at that point, they deemed Nikki a victim of a homicide.
Based on the evidence gathered, information learned from interviews, and the fact that no one in Nikki's family has seen or heard from Nikki since her disappearance, the detectives has determined that Nikki is a victim of homicide.
A young mom, Nikki Chain, is still missing. She was beaten horribly. Her mouth was covered in tape. Cold water was poured on her.
She thought that was going to be the end. That was going to be the time he did it. And she was scared to death. She was scared for her life. And she did state that the next time, if it were to ever happen again, could be it.
Nikki, missing, believed dead. In the last days, finally, an arrest. What is a smoking gun? We think we know. Listen.
Counts 10 through 12 are for various violations occurring on April 1st of this year, after Nikki had been reported missing for almost an entire year. McCain was observed throwing items out of his vehicle, and when he was pulled over, on his possession was a burnt California driver's license for Nikki McCain.
So isn't it correct, Dave Mack, that one of the last times we know Nikki Chang was alive, she was driving her truck, which was found in a very obscure area, abandoned. She was driving the truck, right?
Correct. She was actually driving
her mother-in-law and presumably with her driver's license, right?
That would be correct.
So explain to me, Lauren Conlon, how husband Tyler McCain is busted throwing out her burned driver's license, which we believe was on her the last time she was seen alive. Tell me how that happened.
Yes, he was pulled over in April of 2025 after he was seen kind of unable to stay in the correct lanes. And then, as the report mentioned, he was seen throwing various things out the window. And detectives located his wallet, and inside his wallet was Nikki's California driver's license, which investigators said had partial burn damage to it. And Nancy, remember in July of 2024, a fire spread across Tyler and Nikki's property of almost 98 acres.
You're seeing shots and video of the fire right now. Lauren Conlon, how does the fire fit into everything? So he is burning evidence and it got out of control?
I mean, we don't know that for sure, Nancy, but I think that many of us surmise that this is the case here. And again, with Nikki's body not being located yet, you know, my head also goes that way. But, you know, you mentioned Scott Peterson in March of 2025. You know they had eyes on Tyler. They brought him in to this press conference where they made him speak again, just like Scott Peterson. And it is so uncomfortable to watch, in my opinion, Nancy. Tyler appears to be uncomfortable himself. He says things like, "I'm just here in support." He actually even says, "I'm sorry." And I just, you know, I can't imagine what was going through Chloe and Kay's head at that time. But again, I want to give props to law enforcement who have worked so diligently over the last year to get this arrest.
Speaking of that awkward press conference, you're absolutely right, Lauren Conlon. Let's take a look at Tyler McCain blathering.
"I'm Tyler McCain, I'm husband of Nikki McCain. First of all, I would like to thank the Sheriff's Office, FBI, for getting involved. Any efforts that that might help bring my wife home safely. We miss you. I don't really know what to say. I haven't been in the public eye, and I haven't done very well with it. I apologize to everyone, especially my children, my wife's family, mine as well. I'm just here in support, so anything that I can do, I want to do that."
Straight back to veteran trial lawyer, former prosecutor, now defense attorney, Franz Burghardt. I guess you always tell your clients, keep your pie hole shut, because he's there saying, we miss you. Like somebody had to pinch him to say it. I can't wait till they play that for the jury. What about it, Franz?
Certainly makes my life easier when they keep their mouth shut. And you know what? The funny thing is, Nancy, had he been quiet like a mourning husband, I think people would have understood that. But that statement, not good for his defense.
Yeah, he's talking, Franz, about how much he misses Nikki. I guess he and his girlfriend were really missing her a lot, Franz.
Well, you got to prove that that's his girlfriend. A social media post in 2025 of somebody with you is not necessarily a relationship, so we're going to have to give him a little bit of reasonable doubt on that.
Oh, nothing can make me happier than to put Miss Thing up on the stand and cross-examine her about when she started having sex with Tyler McCain. What, was it the night Nikki went missing? I can't wait to do that. Thank you. That's an excellent idea, Franz. To Kay and Chloe, question, which one of you were standing directly by him during that press conference?
That was me, Kay.
How did that feel? Did you just want to go, give him a little finger necklace?
I actually wanted to encourage him to speak more. I knew he had more to say, and I tried to make eye contact and be supportive to see if he would speak more. But yes, deep down, it was very difficult.
I'm curious, Chloe, what was going through your mind at the time he was talking about how much he missed Nikki?
I was expecting a little bit more from him, just kind of like what Kay was saying, trying to encourage him to say more. I actually didn't know what to expect when he was speaking, but the whole time I was like, what? That's all you could have said? You couldn't say, like, I love her so much. I wish she was home. I just wish he would express something more like a husband who was really missing their wife, but I got the complete opposite.
But you know he shacked up with other women and not just one. So anything he said about missing her would have been a big fat lie, Chloe.
And that's true. I think it just showed exactly what type of person he was and showed how little he cared for Nikki.
Well, I guess that's the perfect segue for Franz Borghardt to talk about how this is not a Miss Congeniality contest. We don't have to like him. We just have to find out if there's evidence to convict him. But his whole spiel about please bring Nikki home reminds me of somebody else. Somebody named Chris Watts.
I want my family back. Like, I want them safe and I want them here. Like, this house is not the same. I want everybody back. I just want everybody. I need everybody back here and everybody safe.
From our friends at KUSA.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
I mean, come on, Brian Fitzgibbons. How many times have you seen the perp trying to make themselves cry, making a tearful plea? Now, I got to give it to Susan Smith. She actually did drum up some tears when she begged for the return of her two boys that she killed. So, Brian, what do you make? And I'm glad Lauren Conlon brought it up. I was talking about the burned driver's license of Nikki's found in his wallet, and he's trying to get rid of it. There was that fire on his property, and it was chalked up to a catalytic converter. Wow. Okay, so his wife goes missing, the wife that he has been terrorizing, binding, putting duct tape over her mouth, beating her, trying to drown her. She goes missing. Suddenly, a fire breaks out, and now we have her partially burned driver's license. But Fitzgibbons, first, his plea for Nikki's return.
Really perplexing, Nancy. In the hubris for him to get in front of a camera is shocking, right? And, you know, when we're talking about these fires, and they're fires plural, right? We have the one at the Olinda Road residence, but there are other fires at properties associated with McCain that I think we're going to see come out in trial, maybe connected to this case.
Well, it doesn't bode well for finding her remains if he is a firebug, because, you know, Brian, I probably need a shrink, Dr. Bethany, to explain this in her jargon, but you always see a perp falling back on that with which they are familiar. Here's Scott Peterson, perfect example. He likes to fish. So where did he dispose of Lacey and Connor's bodies? One of his fishing holes, right? This guy is a firebug. He's connected, as Brian Fitzgibbons pointed out, to several arsons, several burning incidents, let me rephrase. That makes me think, when you don't know a horse, look at his track record. That's probably what he did with Nikki's body.
And wasn't Chris Watts associated with the oil industry, if I recall correctly? And that's where he secreted
his
wife and daughter's bodies.
Dr.
So that
Bethany,
was a similar one.
It's not just associated. It's not just associated. You're dead on again. He took his wife, Shanann's body, and the daughters of his two little girls, Bella and Celeste, and put Bella and Celeste in oil drums and buried Nikki there on the Anadarko oil fields in a shallow grave where she had coffin birth. Post-mortem, she gave birth to baby Nico. There would have been their first son. You're right. Another good example, Dr. Bethany.
I'd be curious about what the children saw. What's the new girlfriend experiencing? What did the extended family see? This is a firebug, and this is a rageaholic who's just going to keep doing it again and again, I think, until he's behind bars.
To Nikki's sister, Chloe. Chloe, how many children did Nikki have with McCain?
Tyler and Nikki have four children together.
So now they don't have a mom. I'm just thinking about the genesis, how her disappearance and death occurred. We don't know all the answers, but we do believe we have a motive that McCain murdered his wife, Nikki, the mother of four, to stop her from testifying against him in that horrible domestic violence episode.
It is our belief that Tyler McCain murdered his wife, Nikki McCain, to prevent her from testifying in the domestic violence case. This enhancement elevates the murder charge from a sentence of 25 to life to life without the possibility of parole. Had we gone forward with the domestic violence case in 2024, we would not have been able to prove that case without her testimony, without also having to prove that McCain caused her disappearance. Count 9 charges forgery occurring May 29th.
again after Nikki went missing around May 18th. Shortly after Nikki was reported missing, this forgery charge results out of a forged signature on a joint tax return check that we believe that Tyler McCain forged her signature to cash that check.
Oh my stars. According to prosecutors, he killed her and then forged her name to get the tax return. Chloe Selly and Kay Ford with us, the Nikki sisters who have been fighting for justice for Nikki since day one. To Kay, do you believe and have you been led to believe that her remains will be found?
I feel confident with the evidence that the detectives have collected. And also I do have confidence in our community. Although I don't believe her body is known at this point, I do feel good about people coming forward. We have already been receiving a lot more tips as of Tyler's arrest. And yeah, I do think that we're going to recover her body.
I'm very curious about this smoking gun that was the final straw and led to the arrest of Tyler McCain and what prosecutors say is the murder of Nikki Chang. I'm curious, Dr. Bethany Marshall, could you explain why he would have kept Nikki's driver's license in his wallet?
I don't think it's that deep or mysterious. I think he needed her ID so he could continue to take advantage of her financially. He's already forging a signature on a tax return, all right? I think we'll find more love fraud, love swindling, financial malfeasance. I think we'll find that he had many reasons to have her gone, that this was not just an outcropping of domestic violence that went too far, that he already had other girlfriends, that he probably stood to gain financially in some way. He needed her out of the way. So what better way to take advantage of somebody who's already gone than to hold on to all their identification? I think he could find a million uses for that driver's license, Nancy. Because obviously if it's burned, he was in the process of incinerating something and then he went in and retrieved it. So why would he retrieve it if he didn't want to use it in some way?
You know, Brian Fitzgibbons, I think that there is more to it because I've seen investigated, prosecuted so many cases where killers keep mementos of their victims. And I've always found it curious for them. It's like I would keep ticket stubs or photos or programs of when the twins had an honor event, or that means something to me. And to just look at it, you may not even know what it is, but I would know what it is. I think it's not just to use her ID for practical purposes. He had it with all of his other pictures and things he kept in his wallet. He kept that. He kept that after exercising complete and total control over her, binding her hands and feet, putting duct tape over her mouth, beating her, trying to drown her. And even after he killed her, according to prosecutors, he kept that so he could see it every day.
Yeah, that was a really shocking development, Nancy. And it goes against, you know, one of the things that Tyler had told Nikki's family early on is that she had left on her own volition. Okay, so, you know, when we take those pieces of information together, why would she leave without her driver's license? And then why would he keep it and not advise Shasta County Sheriffs that he had it and that she didn't have it in her possession?
Lauren Collin, joining us, Pop Crime TV. I still don't get why these women are attracted to Tyler McCain. I don't get it. I look at him, I say, the devil. What's special about him? What does he have other than his wife's house?
No, I'm with you. I mean, without knowing the guy, I don't know, Nancy. Is it the bad boy thing? I have no idea. I can't even speculate on that. But one other thing I want to point out, I thought Brian made some really great points, but prosecutors also described an overwhelming odor of decomposition coming from the bed of Nikki's truck where they found a sheet and it had Nikki's blood on it.
You heard the Nikki sisters stating that since Tyler McCain's arrest, more tips are coming in. There is currently a $30,000 reward still in place for information regarding Nikki's remains, $30,000. If you know or think you know anything about the location of Nikki or her remains, please dial 530-245-6540. Repeat, 530-245-6540. It ain't over. yet. While we wait for justice to unfold, we remember an American hero, Detective Anthony Stanley, Oyster Creek PD, Texas, killed in the line of duty, leaving behind grieving daughters, Kristen and Shelby. American hero, Detective Anthony Stanley. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend. This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.